Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Monday to you. Can you believe it is already August 15th? I keep saying that to every program. I'm going, it's going fast. But it is another one of those weeks where you sit and look at it and you go, exciting time to be in the mortgage industry. Not so sure it's an exciting time to be in the stock market right now based on what happened last week. But anyway, we got a great program for you this week. We're going to be talking about the future of mortgage accounting. How does it look like? Where is this world headed to as it relates to that? And we're also going to be talking about the call report. And we have as our special guest, and he's special all the time because he's regular on the program. It's the Profit Doctor, Andy Schell. And he is going to be talking to us a lot about the call report, the future of mortgage accounting, a lot of issues that I think are going to be really relevant. And if there's anyone who can make mortgage accounting exciting, it's Andy Schell. You're going to want to stay tuned all the way through. Joe Farr is on vacation this week, so I get to fill in and try my best at sounding like an economist. I almost wish we had Doug Duncan on here doing this or something. Doug's a whole lot more entertaining, and Joe certainly does a great job each and every week. But it's good to have you be with us, and let's get through it. I just got off the phone a few minutes ago talking to the folks at MBS Quote Line, and here's what's going on today. It's a fairly flat and quiet day for those of you that are already subscribers. The MBS Quote Line service, you already know, we've got a quiet day going. And prices are flat, 1/32nd is down 1/32nd, which is a slight improvement from earlier in the day, which is 5/32nd. So as Dan and the staff there at MBS Quote Line indicated, let's hope for a quiet day. However, last week was anything but quiet. It was one of those wild weeks, I think one of the wildest on record. It opened Monday not knowing what the S&P downgrade would or how it would affect things. Stocks got, as you well know, history, it's a birdcage material now, but it was down to 630 points. MBS prices benefit up 16/32nd. Then on Tuesday, the Fed came out with a statement, and they made the comment that slower growth now expected, and we are in a place where the Feds are going to do their best to hold the rates at the lower level until mid-2013. This was good for MBS prices. We saw a nice rally of 28/32nd on the price side, and obviously rates hit the all-time low. And then it was just good for all the way around for for all the MBS prices. Not good for stocks, however, as we saw one of the most roller coaster days of all times. Concerns emerged on Wednesday about the strength of French banks, and that sent a flight to safety, and the MBS prices shot up over a point, and the Dow again down 520 points. So, you know, up on Tuesday, down again on Wednesday. After strong Treasury auctions on Tuesday and Wednesday, and I think this is probably most interesting, there were strong Treasury auctions Tuesday, Wednesday on the 3 and 10 year. However, Thursday's 30-year auction was terrible. It was a shock to the market, and MBS prices fell by 23/32nd. Stocks rallied, further hurting the MBS prices. The Dow rose 420 points, another up and down, around and through. For the first time ever, the Dow moved as much in 4 days in a row. It was, again, historical. Friday was comparatively quiet. I think probably everyone was on Valium at that point and going, we need to have some calm markets. So whether they're calm or not, we're going to pop some Valium or pretend it's calm. MBS prices ended up 16/32nd for the week, and the Dow ended up 125 points up. So overall, it was kind of one of those volatile weeks, but net neutral or up, but you know, overall kind of a not as traumatic as it could have been with at the closing. This week, let's hope for less volatility. However, we have some interesting events that are pretty significant events on the calendar. On Tuesday at 9:15, we have the industrial production report. Also on Tuesday, housing starts. I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of relevance to the housing reports, but industrial production should give us an indication of where everyone thinks the economy is going. Wednesday at 8:30, we have PPI. Thursday we have at 8:30, we have CPI. And on Thursday, existing home sales and the Philly Fed will be out with their comments. All eyes today, however, are on, or this week, it's not today, the meeting is tomorrow. The big meeting of this week will be happening in Europe. It's a meeting of all the European leaders that are getting together to discuss the condition of European banks. If the markets don't hear what they want to hear, what they're looking to hear is things are under control, don't worry, everyone go back to their offices, sit in your cubes, don't worry, everything's under control. If they hear that, then I think we can. Then it's going to be a non-event and all is well. However, if we don't, it could spell troubles. Trouble, what does that mean for bonds? You know, we'll see another rally in bonds, another increase in prices on bonds, driving rates lower. But we could anticipate more ugliness as it relates to the equities and stocks. So it's going to be an interesting week. That's certainly not dull. It hasn't been dull for a long time, but boy, this last week took it to another level. So we're thrilled to have you with us each and every week. We wish Joe Farr a very good vacation. And I know where he's heading out to. It's a beautiful spot, and we wish he and his family a great, great time. And a big thank you goes out to all the staff at MBS Quote Line, but specifically Dan, who gets and has to listen to my questions as I gather this report on behalf of Joe when he's out. So anyone, Joe, have a great vacation, and thank you so much. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief word.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quote Line can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quote Line monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quote Line, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS Quote Line can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteLine.com to start a risk-free two-week trial. MBSQuoteLine.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Welcome back, and we have, live from a much cooler climate in Michigan State, Alice Alvey, and she's going to bring us what we affectionately refer to as the traffic report, tracking all the activity that's moving through the legislative highway there inside the Beltway. And Alice, what are the temperatures? I don't even know if I want to ask this question. I mean, we got triple digits down here again in Texas. What are the temperatures like up there in beautiful Michigan?
Oh, we're at a beautiful 78 with a crystal clear blue sky, and Lake Michigan's calm, and there's a nice breeze. Sorry. Hey, you can pick on us for the other 9 months out of the year.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk to you when we're on the golf course in the middle of January.
Right.
So,
beautiful now.
Well, it's good to have you with us, Alice. And what is going on out there in the world of in the legislative highway? They're on vacation. I mean, everyone's been talking about everyone coming back to work, but the probability is they're not. And there's no new bills. So what's going on? What should we be looking at?
Well, you know, one of the bills that we haven't had the opportunity to talk enough about was the House Bill 1859, the Housing Reform Act of 2011. This was introduced back in May, and, you know, just with everything going on, and the fact that this bill hasn't really moved much yet, we haven't brought it to the front. But I want to make sure everyone's aware of the components in this bill, because it starts to set the tone of where things might go with Fannie and Freddie or the future of secondary market. And I think the more you read and kind of watch what Congress's ideas are on this, the better understanding we'll have once we start to really get some final ideas that really do start to move forward. So I thought talking about H.R. 1859 for a second here might be helpful. And this
yes.
one is interesting to me because it's about creating housing finance guarantee associations. So essentially taking the Federal Housing Finance Authority, Federal Housing Finance Agency, and creating an Office of Securitization within FIFA. And then FIFA would be approving these private sector agencies. So an interesting, you know, concept
that
going
is.
Forward on, okay, that you would have to be approved by a federal agency in order to form securities. Now, what was interesting to me is in the bill in these HFGAs, right, another new acronym that we have to try and be able to put together, is the list of the activities that they would not be able to participate in. So that they would not be able to originate or service mortgages, but they would, and they would not be able to guarantee timely payment of the principal and interest on the mortgage related to the security. So in other words, they wouldn't be like a Ginnie Mae, right? That's the, that's
right.
an important thing. You couldn't include FHA or VA in the securities, and these entities would not be able to purchase a loan. Well, let me rephrase. They could buy an ADLT, a loan above an ADLTV, but the seller of that security would have to retain a 10% interest, and the seller has to agree to repurchase or replace the loan in the event of default. So an interesting twist on, you know, housing finance guarantee associations. The director would have some very broad authority for fees, and they actually, if one of the entities with one of these associations failed, the other associations within this group would be assessed a fee and would have an assessment, so to speak, in order to compensate this. This is supposed to be a budget-neutral enterprise, and within that would be, you know, obviously fees and managing the potential failure of one of the entities within the group. So the director would have to manage the stability of the group and pricing. So, you know, at a high level, it's interesting to kind of think through, okay, how does it really work? You know, how do we really reset some kind of structure for private securities?
Yeah. It's really interesting, but, you know, revenue neutral and it being a part of a regulatory body inside the Beltway, somehow that seems a bit like an oxymoron. I just, you know,
right.
but I mean, I think in concept, Alice, what they're really trying to achieve here is it's got some merits to it. So, I mean, it's interesting. I'd love to hear the other side of that, of the argument. But anyway, that's good. It's excellent that you bring those points out.
Well, a couple of the other bills I know that are important to many of the originators out there is H.R. 2509, Preserving Consumers' Mortgage Origination Choices of 2011. This is just a two-part bill, and the idea of trying to loosen things up a little bit within the loan officer compensation rule. So it would be the idea of trying to redesign some of the originator compensation pieces within TILA. One of them would be a redesign that would say, if a broker was paid by a borrower, then the broker could pay the originator still. And then the other component of the bill would allow a broker originator, when requested to the borrower, to forfeit or contribute back, you know, bona fide third-party expenses up to 30%. So like we've talked about in the past, the idea of being able to give back a little bit at a closing if you needed to.
Yeah. That would be a good thing.
Yeah, I think, but you know, I don't have any inside scoop on how regulators feel about that right now. Obviously, I think they believe they like the law the way they wrote it, and so we'll have to see if they're open to any changes. And instantly, for something like this, they start looking to see, was there a loophole created? You know, we tried to close all the loopholes, and we don't want to open any of them back up again. FHA's bills haven't moved at all. Now, back in 2010, the bill did get approved. So by the House, and now that it's been reintroduced in this session of Congress, we'll be watching to see that over time if the FHA Reform Act gets some legs. They are trying to see if FHA and force FHA to look at having higher down payments, but no movement on that yet. As far as rules go, we're on hold for QM and QRM.
Alice, can I interrupt you? It sounds just a little muffled. I'm not sure if there's something on your end, but I know you're on your cell phone having to call in today, but it was just really got muffled. I want to make sure our listeners hear all this really important good stuff. So anyways, continue on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll try and make sure I'm careful with that. So QM and QRM are on hold. Nothing new with them right now. And then the RESPA clarification. I mentioned before, please make sure you go read that RESPA clarification. It is, making sure that you understand how page 3 of the HUD 1 should reflect only charges actually paid by the borrower. And it's the good faith estimate column side I want everybody to be careful of. We know how to show the HUD 1 fees, that you have to show the charge on page 2 of the HUD and then the seller credit, for example, on page 1 of the HUD. But this makes reference to if the fee wasn't purchased, then you don't show it even in the good faith estimate column. So we do want customers to make sure you check that RESPA clarification, check with your computers, and check with your attorneys, and make sure you're following the right procedures for page 3 of the HUD 1. So for now, Dave, that's my legislative update.
Well, it is good. Alice, we appreciate you bringing it to us each and every week. And again, thank you to your staff that is tracking all these things, activity going on. What's really interesting, Alice, when I was in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago, I met with Mitch Keiter and his staff, and they've got one person dedicated just to monitor all that's going on in the state. And we hope to have her on as a guest here in the near future. It was just really interesting to hear all that is going on at the state level. Is there any resource that we could turn to that's out there that tracks the state legislative information?
Yeah, there are several companies that offer services for state level regulation. Compliance Ease is one of them, and certainly different law firms offer regular state updates as well. So, check out, there are many of them out there, yes.
Well, we're hoping to get out of go ahead, Andy.
Hey, Dave, if I could interject, listening to Alice talk about all these things that are coming down the pipe and some of the big things like the LO comp change, which would be a good thing, and then she was talking, when she first started talking about the Lake Michigan and how smooth and calm it is, and what I thought was striking about that is that while it is nice and smooth and calm right now, Lake Michigan can be really bad, not calm.
Yeah.
I mean, so much so that remember the song, the Edmund Fitzgerald, it swallowed a tanker, and it never
That's right.
Like, that was Lake Superior, just to clarify. Lake Superior that is very cold and sunk the Edmund Fitzgerald,
we sure don't want to do anything that would pour any cold water on those great ads of Michigan State, Vacation Michigan State, sir. That's good.
But you're right. You have to be careful. Yep, it was stormy. Yep, you got to be careful.
Well, that just reminded me of our industry a couple of years ago. Is that while it may be getting calmer now, it's we've come through a lot, and not everybody survived. But we're glad we're still here.
We are, and we've still got so much on the state front that's happening, and that's probably one of the things that's starting to creep up on my radar screen. We have got to start paying attention at the state level. I think the state associations, I'm so glad to see Dave Stevens at the NBA and see what's going on there, but I tell you, the state associations have got to get some new life. I believe that we need both the NBA and the state associations to get active at all levels because we are getting hit from all sides. Alice, thank you so much for bringing us an update. And we appreciate you calling in when you're out of the office on your cell phone. And, folks, you're not going to want to miss the topic we got heading up. We've got our very own profit doctor that's going to give us an update on the future of the whole future of loan accounting, mortgage accounting, where it's headed, what's going to be driving it. And we're also going to be getting into a real good discussion on the call report. You're not going to want to miss the rest of the per show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower. From a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges, PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin'.
Welcome back, everybody, and we appreciate you tuning in each and every week and passing the word around to your associates and to your to those within your network, letting them know that we're here to help bring information about what is going on. I believe we're the first of the kind, and at this point, the only radio program dedicated to the mortgage industry, and we're mortgage professionals producing this at no as a public service. All of us that you hear regularly on this program are doing it because we want to find a way to get the hottest information out and bring a dynamic dialogue to the process. So appreciate everyone who's a part of the program. Appreciate you listening. And one of the parts of the program that it has been just a very success, all aspects of the program have been, is the Profit Doctor. Andy Schell, who many of you know, is the Profit Doctor and is the managing partner, my partner, here at Mortgage Banking Solutions, a consulting firm here in Austin, Texas. Andy has a long background and is in banking, his roots start in banking here in Texas. He has a vast background in the financial services business. One of his notable accomplishments on his resume is his time at Bank of America, the old Bank of America that was based there in San Francisco. And Andy, we could go on and on about your background, but most people know who you are and you're well known to the audience, so I won't bore anybody with all of it. But it is important to point out that you are a CPA. You also have a CMB, Certified Mortgage Banking designation, and pushing the heck out of me to get mine done, and I will. And also, you have a forensic accounting degree. So you go in addition to that, you teach CPAs how to audit independent mortgage bankers or mortgage banking companies. So you're very active in all aspects. It's good to have you on the program, and good to have you back, Profit Doctor.
Well, thanks, Dave. And some of the most fun we have teaching is when you and I tag team teach webinars.
I always jokingly say, yeah, you're the substance, and I'm the humor factor in there. So, but it is good to do it, and we really do enjoy it, and it's important that we bring that. Andy, I want to get in and tell our listeners or give our listeners some insights to changes. Maybe we should start and define where accounting has been, but really contrast to that to where loan accounting, mortgage accounting, in a broad sense, is going. And could you contrast the two, where it's been and where we're heading?
Well, let me give you three examples of what I see as the future of accounting. And I think the future of accounting is where accounting and finance together, I'm going to refer to just accounting, but I mean accounting and finance, together plays a significant role by watching risks and the bottom line throughout the entire mortgage process, rather than today just basically working with the numbers after the fact and report what happened. I think accounting is going to be integrated from the very beginning all the way through to the end. And if you think about it like this, I think the future of accounting should be like when you're, this past weekend, we were moving my daughter into an apartment and bought some stuff at Target. And
for college,
credit
if
card
I understand
wouldn't
correctly.
Work.
Yep.
Pardon
yep.
me?
It was for college.
Yeah, I moved my daughter into an apartment in Waco, Texas for Baylor University. And the credit
Sick
card wouldn't
bears.
Work. And it's because we don't normally buy $500 worth of stuff at Walmart three times in a row. So so people
wow.
thought, or the bank thought something was bad. Well, we need that kind of instant reporting in the mortgage cycle where every loan that doesn't meet the correct profit target alerts the team. And so today, accounting isn't alerted about potential declines in revenue on any particular loan until you know, it's closed and funded and ready to be sold. It's always catching up. It's like following behind the elephant in the parade with your shovel. Is what accounting does today, and it's just scooping. And yeah, that was a big one, but it's too late to fix it. I also see the future of mortgage accounting and the future of accounting in general as being very proactive and integrated throughout the organization, where there are many checkpoints of information that alert management to changes or things that are off track. And that means, though, that we're going to have a track. We're going to have a forecast and a cash flow forecast. We're going to know where we're headed, because today's accounting approach is like driving by looking in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. Well, I think you bring out a really good point, Andy, that I want to underscore right there. And I want to contrast that. This, for me, it's a rhetorical question, but would you say that accounting has been integral to business decisions in the past? And I know you already kind of answered that, but
well, if you look at the Fortune 500 companies and how they manage and how the data is managed and the information they use to make decisions, you'd say yes. I would say for the rank-and-file mortgage banker, no. It's been shoot from the hip, hope you're right, just cover all sins with more volume. Just do more volume and everybody's happy. Well, those days are gone, and accounting needs to be integral in every aspect of the business going forward. Like I said, no more rearview mirror accounting where we're just looking backwards at what we've done. Accounting finance must be part of the forward view with an ongoing assessment of what's done. And all of this information then needs to be coming together in a way where we have instant access through technology, instant access to easy-to-understand information that's meaningful and complete and accurate. And I know, Dave, you and I were talking about this on the pre-call. There's a movie called The Minority Report with Tom Cruise.
Yep, great movie.
Yeah, it's a really fun movie.
Cool.
And the visual
technology.
I like about the movie is that they've got this wraparound screen that they can move images around just in front of them. And so I kind of see the future of mortgage banking accounting support for the owners and management of mortgage banks is the owners of mortgage banks, the managers of mortgage banks are going to be able to come in the office and stand in this room and have all this information available to them. They can grab some and pull it over and here's profitability by loan for this region and grab another screen and pull it down and here's profitability by this group of originators and pull on another screen and here's secondary marketing gains that were different than expected. And you can just pull all this data and it's instant. And you get it every morning. You pull in these visuals. It's a nice round curved screen. You can look at it, which I would really like to have a round curved monitor, but I haven't been able to find one.
Haven't found that yet. I just buy a lot of flat ones and stick them all the way around. That brings up an interesting point, Andy, that goes to the point and of technology. One of the things that you and I have talked about is there's some wonderful new technologies that have emerged in the marketplace that allow business owners, even those that do not have strong accounting skills, to be able to monitor the activities, what's going on. Could you give us some insights into some of those and how you see that playing a role moving forward?
Sure. It's all about integrating data. It's in accounting right now. We are looking at an LOS that may be different than the operation system, which may be different than the processing system, which may be different than, in Texas, the doc prep system because you're dealing with an attorney. And then you have another system for some of your post-close. And, oh, by the way, we've got Excel sheets that we use to track different things because our origination system doesn't track the STIP clearing list that comes in from the investor. So we've got all these pieces of information that are disparate, meaning they're not connected. There's not a
and that, and that's not probably going to change. I don't think it's realistic we're going to see one solution emerge that is end-to-end. I mean, we'd like to think that I'm not sure that we really would want that, but that's not something. So we're going to be dealing with that. So that's an ongoing reality is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah. We've got these various systems that don't talk to each other. And so for accounting to be what we want accounting to be means that we've got to get all the data into a way that it can talk to each other. So the accounting system's got to be able to pull data from the origination system, and if those things don't work, then we end up with creating a depository, a data warehouse. And having a data warehouse is a really good thing because you can go data mining. And when you go data mining, you can look at all kinds of interesting statistics and information about each loan and each originator and each branch. So there are systems out there coming together. And one of them is a group we've worked with quite a bit called Motivity Solutions that builds interfaces with various systems to be able to then produce reports that are the dashboards that show the key performance indicators, which we haven't gotten into that much here on this show yet. But make it easy to read, make it easy to understand. And one of the webinars that Dave, you and I teach is that we'll show a screen that shows four bars, and they're both colored, a purple one or a red one and a green one. And if the red one's bigger than the green one, that's bad because you want more green. And if the green one's bigger than the red one, that's good. And that's
I mean, those kind of basic visuals are going to help, you know, the guys that are running these businesses that are the non-accounting types to be able to really grasp and see what's going on in a real-time environment. That's really significant. I think some of the things that you mentioned, Motivity is one of our affiliate partners that we work with closely, and they have some really cool indicators on there. The green button and the arrows up and down, the orange button, a caution, arrows up and down, trending which way it's going. And then, of course, the red button, the big one that's there that blinks away, that tells you, oh, you got a problem here. You got to really zero into it. On the technology side, how do you see these things interfacing? A lot of people are going, do I have to do a lot of rekeying of this, or is it truly beginning to interface, Andy?
Well, you want it. It has to be interfaced. If you are going to have manual reentry of data, your error rate increases substantially. But just because two computers talk together doesn't mean that the data is moving across accurately either.
So go back to your movie, because that movie analogy really draws that out.
Well, it does. It does, because if you remember that movie, they're forming opinions about what's going to happen. It's a precognition. They're looking at what's going to happen, and they go in and they stop people from committing crimes before they happen. Well, right. At the end of the movie, we learned that, whoops, the data was inaccurate. The information wasn't right. The accuracy of the precogs, they call them, wasn't completely clear, and it was being manipulated and all kinds of stuff. But that's the same thing that happens when you've got two computers talking. They're just moving data. They're moving bits and bytes, and they've got fields and records, and they're pulling them all together. And if something gets out of alignment, the computer doesn't know what's out of alignment. It just means it just moves the data. If it goes through, it goes through. And then we then use that to make decisions. But if the data from one system to the other system interface wasn't done correctly, you got garbage in, garbage out. Now all of a sudden, you got a really cool-looking report that's based on faulty data, and you're making bad decisions and don't even know it. And I talk about that in some of our webinars that we speak about. But it's beware of the fancy report trap. Just because a report
– Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, just because a report looks good doesn't mean the information's correct. You've got to test the interfaces. You've got to test the data flow. And this doesn't end. You don't build an interface once and then leave it. You monthly, the part of our process for the groups where we do the accounting for them is we test the interfaces. You've got to make certain the data's right. You don't check every single record necessarily, but you do spot check it, and you got to check it periodically to make sure it stays right.
Well, you know what? I want to get Alice in this conversation, because this opens up, when you talk about reporting, the newest report to hit our industry that has caused for some gray hair in some, although I think most have gotten past, is the call report, the new call report. Alice, let's get in and talk and have you come into the dialogue. Andy and I could sit and talk about the future mortgage banking, where things be, the way the world should ought to be. And we could go into that for on and on and on into forever. But let's get and talk about the call report, Alice. And if you could give us a little bit of a background for those that somehow may have been in Europe for the last few months and I missed this, so give us a quick rundown on that, and then let's get into that discussion of how all this relates to the call report. Alice, did we lose you by chance? My concern was is that we had Alice.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Good. All right, good.
Sorry about this. Yep. No, I want to, and Andy, to Andy's point about the detail in other reports and the idea of kind of drilling down to do spot checks, that's an area I see companies have a lot of shortcomings, and they don't know how to spot check their data to really know if it's right. So I'll segue out of that into the SAFE Act report for you, Dave, so we can drill down into that one. But the SAFE Act really NMLS, the National Mortgage Licensing System, it actually requires that banks, brokers, FDIC banks file production data on a calendar quarterly basis, and that's considered the Residential Mortgage Loan Activity Report. And now everybody's had to file about two of those, right? It's due 45 days at the end of each calendar quarter. And then the second report is the financial information. So this is done annually on a fiscal basis, and this is called the financial conditions report. So if you're Ginnie Mae, Fannie Mae, or Freddie Mac approved, you then have to also complete an expanded section on that quarterly report. But then you have then reduced the companies that are required to file that expanded section are not required to complete the annual financial portion of the standard section. So that's why we need people like Andy Schell to help us get to the bottom of, okay, what's the data in the report and how do I get it done right? So I think lenders have been coping with us all right. They're in round two of trying to get these filed.
Well, let's get into that part of the discussion, Andy, as it relates to the call report. We've gone, like Alice says, we've gone through two cycles. But what are you hearing out there? I know the answer. Most are saying that they say they got it right, but we're hearing some reports to the contrary. And what are what are the consequences of not getting the call report right?
Well, Dave, can you hear that ticking? that's a time bomb that's set in the mortgage banking arena right now that's going to blow up on a lot of mortgage bankers who are not currently Fannie Freddie Ginnie reporting. Just what Alice just said is absolutely correct in that the reports have been sent in, the RMLS and the financial condition report for those that are Fannie Freddie Ginnie have already been submitted. But the financial condition report for those that are not Fannie Freddie Ginnie has not been submitted. The RMLA has been submitted, so everybody has submitted now, like Alice was just saying, two call reports. But they've only submitted half of the call reports. They've submitted the ones that were due. The financial condition report hasn't been due yet for all of these other originators who are not Fannie Freddie Ginnie seller, servicer, issuers. So for those folks, that's where the ticking time bomb is. And I've had conversations with other CPAs, some of the folks up at Richie May or with Jeff Spiegel or Ken Hughes, some of the name brands in mortgage accounting, and we're all concerned about the same point, and that is that when it's time for the audit, when we're doing the year-end 2011 work and we're getting ready to submit that financial condition report, there's not going to be the information available to do it. And what that information that has to be available to do it is information from every loan closing for the entire year. Every loan closing from January the 1st, 2011 through December, there's elements from that every single loan closing that has to be captured and reported. And every single payroll for the entire year there's data elements from that has to be captured and reported in a little bit different way. And so for most folks, they're still doing it the way they've always done it. They're going to get to the end of the year. The accountants are going to come in and say, oh, by the way, I need this, this, and this in order to do the call report, and they're not going to have the information. And then all kinds of bad things are going to happen.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on the bad things, but I think it's important that we establish that there are consequences. And you were talking recently to a state regulator about this very point, is that they're aware of there's companies that are just blowing this off, not even filing it. Go ahead.
No, finish your question.
No, I think it's just how alarming that is, but the consequences are tragic for their company. And so let's get into that. Now, I love Alice's opining on that, is for what are some of the consequences for either irresponsibly just blowing this off or doing it inaccurately. Andy?
Well, a purposely misfiled report is fraud. If you submit a report to a federal agency knowing that the data is inaccurate, that's fraud. And that's a whole other can of worms. And so the other thing that's going to happen is your auditors can't submit and finish your audit if they don't have the information that they need. So the risks that are going to be coming is that the NMLS report doesn't get filed timely. The audit can't get filed timely, so both now you're risking your HUD approval and you're risking not filing the call report timely, and in both cases, you're also, if you do file it anyway, you're running the risk of filing bad data, and the state regulator that I spoke to, and this is pretty standard, is that misfiled information is the same as not filed, and it sometimes is even worse if it was purposed. If you purposely filed an inaccurate report, you've got personal liability and fraud. So
A good situation. So that's a game. I mean, it's game over for most people if they find themselves in that situation. Alice, is that a fair characterization? You're going to see these guys just basically being forced to shut their doors?
Well, I don't know if we've actually had that level, you know, have it reached that level yet, you know, because the first round of these reports is going to be trying to get to the bottom of it, you know. Like Andy said, you know, the in terms of fraud, try and define, sometimes you just some carelessness can be interpreted as fraud. So, you know, you have to be careful. You may not be intentionally trying to get inaccurate data, but if they perceive that you didn't give it enough attention, then that's the only classification left.
I think
well, I'll give you a quick example. There's in the financial condition report, you have to report payroll based on several different subsets. And we were talking to one mortgage company, and I was asking them about their report because I knew that their system didn't capture the information in enough detail. So I asked them, well, how did you come up with the information to file your, in this case it was the MBFRF, which is the report you submit to, you know, Fannie Freddie. And they go, well, we just made it up. We didn't know for sure. Our system didn't provide the information, so we guessed. A swag.
That is, oh, my gosh.
So what happens when the auditors come in and look, the Freddie Mac auditors come in and look, and you don't have the support to report the information you put on your reports?
You know, we'd like to think that's a very big exception, but you know what, Andy? I fear that that while that is absolutely a small percentage of companies out there, it is unfortunately probably a little more prevalent than many of us would want to even admit or be aware of. Andy, I appreciate you bringing on this. We're going to take a quick break so we can get a word from our sponsor, but we appreciate you bringing this. So, folks, stay tuned. We're going to be back here in just a minute with Andy Schell talking about the future mortgage banking, and we're going to get into the exciting part of what you can do with the call report. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Trot represents a wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
And we should say hot Austin, Texas, triple digits, day after day after day. But you think it's hot in Texas, wait till you screw up and don't file that call report. We're going to leave that topic, we're going to leave the negative behind on the call report. Annie, let's get in talking about the positive, because there is so many things that this call report can benefit a lender that is doing it right and is looking at this data closely. So if you could get into that aspect of the call report, Andy, and specifically, what can lenders do with all of this?
Well, one of the key comments that I always make is I'm always talking about ROI and I'm always talking about KPIs, return on investment and key performance indicators. In order for key performance indicators to work, it means you have to have the information that goes into the calculation to be able to have the key performance indicator, and then some of the key performance indicators that can then drive ROI decisions. And one of the key elements that the call report is going to require, and one of the most significant points, is that the call report requires lenders to report interest income, interim interest that's collected at closing and then earned by the mortgage company during the time that the loan's on the warehouse line, and then also the interest expense for each loan that's recorded on the warehouse line borrowing as the interest expense, both the interest income and interest expense. So that's a lot of detail. You got to go through every loan as it's funded, record the information, then when it's sold, you record more information, and it all flows in and does the call report perfectly. What that also does, though, we talk over and over about loan level accounting, and what that means is capturing the revenue and expense, the income and cost information out of every single loan transaction, because when you do that, when you get the detail off the HUD one of all of the line items of income and expense, and you have all your gain on sale and SRP and margin data in the accounting system, you can then calculate profit by originator, profit by loan, profit by branch, profit by region,
yeah,
profit by product, by everything you can think of, by channel. We can do profitability and not just volume. People always talk about the reports based on originator volume, branch volume, region volume, and that is worthless. I mean, it's nice to have. It's not completely worthless, but it doesn't really tell you the answer. It doesn't tell you the ROI, because
yeah,
return on investment is based on the earnings generated, not the volume generated. You could generate a huge volume and lose money on every loan and think you're doing a great job. You've got to look at profit, and you can't know profit because profit's revenue less expense. You can't know
yep
that without capturing that information out of the systems, and you have to do that to do the call report right. So take that information and run the KPIs and get your profit by originator, profit by loan, profit by region, and you can do that now if you're doing the call report correctly.
Alice, do you hear the enthusiasm in his voice? I mean, not every CEO gets as enthusiastic of looking at that kind of data in their company. But it's fun to hear Andy's enthusiasm. And more should, because when they start looking at it, Alice, it really draws that out. Anyway, I get so excited on this topic. Being a non-accounting type, I really do get excited about what this could do for so many companies that are struggling to look at that. But, Alice, I want to get you back into the dialogue here. Sorry for going on and on. Andy and I sit around and talk about this all the time anyway. And so, anyway, Alice.
No, that's fine. Well, and, you know, Andy, I know that when you say key performance indicators to folks, I'm not so sure they necessarily know exactly what detail that has
great
to
point
be. So, you know, what can people do to make this easier to understand? You know, is there any information you can share about exactly some of the KPIs they should make sure they watch that you typically see they might be missing?
Oh, sure. Well, we've got a list of
great question.
30, yeah, we've got a list of, I guess, 30 financial KPIs that we work with Motivity to help generate, and then they have they probably have another 100 performance-based, origination-based activity KPIs that they use. So one example of a KPI that I think is really important is profit per loan. And in order to calculate that key performance indicator, you've got to know all the revenue for the loan, you've got to know all the expense for the loan, which is going to include commission, and all the other direct expenses, in order to then calculate a profit on a direct basis. And then we even go the next step and do an allocation of indirect cost down to the loan, so you can get profit per loan on a direct basis, profit per loan on an indirect basis or fully loaded basis, so you then know really how much you're making. And then we then compare that to peers so you know what makes sense based on volume. And so by looking at it on a absolute dollar amount is valuable, and then also looking at it on a basis points basis. So basis points profit per loan is the net earnings per loan, you know, based on the volume, and that's a great indicator. When we've done hundreds and hundreds of warehouse reviews where we are hired by the warehouse line lenders to go in and look at mortgage banks, and one of the analysis we look at is we always look at what's their earnings in basis points on volume. And that's a great indicator because we can then compare them to all the other people in the country, the hundreds of other companies we've looked at, and know where they stand. But you can't know that without running those numbers.
Yeah, well, the fully loaded with all your operational costs is the one I see so many companies don't have. They just stare, go, well, how do I come up with an operational cost per loan?
Well, it's actually a fairly straightforward cost accounting thing to do where we take the non-direct cost and come up with some basically allocation basis to say, well, based on the anticipated volume and the actual and the cost we expect, we're going to allocate $500 a loan as indirect cost allocation to the profit per loan. And then we tune that up and true it up based on actuals. There's a bunch of different ways of doing this. And any CPA knows how to do cost allocation. That's just one of the things you have to know to pass the CPA exam. What's funny about that, though, is that the things we've talked about doing the call report, about interim interest and warehouse lines held for sale and calculating some of the loan closing details, that stuff's not on the CPA exam. So just because somebody's a CPA does not mean they know anything about mortgage banking accounting. They will know all about cost allocations, though.
That's a really good point. And I think I was in Jay Brinkman's office at the MBA here a couple of weeks ago. He's the chief economist. And he handed me a report that talked about the KPIs, a lot of the performance data, the metrics that they're using to measure various companies. And I think the call report, drawing our attention back to that for a minute, is really going to start level out the playing field. And I think Alice asked the great questions. What are the KPIs? What are going into it? I have a question related to the systems again. It comes back to this. What adjustment are most companies finding themselves having to make or need yet to make to really get the financial reporting done correctly?
Oh, that's like, you know, I need to move a wall in my house 3 feet, so I'm going to have to tear the whole thing down and rebuild it. I mean, it can be as simple as just an internal remodel, and it could be that there's such a significant disconnect between the various systems that you have to replace the systems. We've seen it be as simple as you just add the connectivity into the system and it works great. We've seen some where they've had to convert off of their main LOS or operation system onto a different one. That's a question that is unique to each company, and an assessment needs to be done for each company before they jump forward. I would say this, two quick points. There needs to be a solid understanding of the change management process because it's huge. And people think they can walk in, flip the switch, the light comes on, and they got a new system. That's not how it works. There needs to be an assessment of the need and then an assessment of the systems. It's called an RFI and an RFP. We've got one of our senior consultants is an expert in technology and works in this area extensively. RFIs, RFPs, getting the information gathered and then using a change management focused project approach to make the systems become what we want it to be. Because, you know, I can't tell you how many people we talk to where there's what they call a failed conversion. The systems at the end of the day didn't do what they wanted them to do. So if we define a successful conversion is the reports management want are what they're expecting after the report, after the system conversion is done, then that's a good one. Most of the time that isn't what happened, and it's not what happened because people didn't have reasonable expectations about the change and they didn't thoroughly evaluate their options and they ended up with something they didn't expect, and then they end up and then they're going to change it again in another year. They're going to change it again in 2 years. People need to look at
that has such a cost of impact to it. And I mean, I don't want to get into the blatant that, but I mean, they could avoid a lot of that if they brought someone like you into their company, done a reasonable assessment to it, and determine. I like your analogy, moving a wall. If it's not a load bearing wall, it's probably not that big a deal. But if you determine it's a load bearing wall and you tear something down and try to redo it, you got yourself a real mess in there. So we're going to be having a webinar on this. This may be a perfect time to let everyone know that we, Andy and I, will be doing another webinar, a one-day webinar through Campus MBA on this topic. Andy, could you give everyone, our listeners, the dates for that and so they can start getting registered?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you assume that I know. Because the date moved. No, it's September the 20th. It's 20th. At noon or 1 o'clock Eastern is when the seminar is, the webinar is, August the 20th. And then I guess then you and Alice are speaking again, and then I'm speaking, and possibly some others are speaking in November. So there'll be lots of opportunities to to hear more and to learn more. But yeah, the call report seminar is on the 20th. That would be a great one for people to attend.
And people should get signed up. I mean, I see what Andy's, how he's preparing for this, the content that's going into that, the preparation's going into it. It's going to have some great information. And if you want additional information, listeners, about what is going on, what we can anticipate in that, get signed up for the Campus MBA website. Go to the Campus MBA website and search Mortgage Call Report. The webinar will become available to you, and you'll know about it. Now, Andy mentioned that Alice and I are going to be doing a seminar and speaking together.
Oh, before you jump to our seminar? Before you jump to our seminar, I want to make one more comment about what Andy said in terms of the reports and the idea that what I would like to see people understand by attending Andy's event is you get a chance to see how that report so helps your company. I think way too many people look at this as it's a burden, and they push it off to the compliance department and the accounting department to just get it filed, so to speak, as opposed to taking all the information we just talked about and making sure you elevate this to the level of realizing how much it can benefit your company by pulling in the information that's needed on this report. So I wanted to throw that out there.
Spoken as a true trainer. I mean, Alice, as hard as to educate and bring people to that, but it's so important. It's such a great point, Alice. I mean, this shouldn't, to some it's going to be a burden. To others, it's a huge opportunity to learn so much about your business and really make it a defining moment of where you're going to start managing your business more effectively. So, well, one thing is for certain, Andy, we're going to certainly see state regulators looking at this information very thoroughly. Any idea when your conversation with some of the regulators of how they're going to be looking at this?
Well, they're going to come in and check and see if the information makes sense. And because we're submitting the RMLA, they know how much volume we've done. And because they know how much volume we've done, they're going to be able to have an idea about what the interim interest and warehouse expense will be. So once that financial condition report is filed, they're going to look at the RMLS for the year, look at all the volumes, and then apply some basic math and say, did they do it right or not? And if they didn't do it right, then they're going to go in and show me your records. And if you don't have that information, well, you do, you have it. It's in every closing you've done.
It's in there, yeah.
But if you didn't record it correctly or just disregarded it or just guessed, I don't want to have to. I don't want to be you when they ask you those questions.
Yep,
and there's
so
no
important.
Reason for you to have to worry about it either, because there's no reason to mess this up. It's straightforward to do it right the first time.
Yeah, it's not. This does not have to be that difficult. Like you say, it's not rocket science. It's a little more complicated than flying a biplane, but this certainly is not rocket science. You can do it. And if you have any troubles sorting this out, if you want to learn more, by all means, you can get a hold of Andy Schell. Andy, what is your direct line number, and give him your email address so people can get a hold of you about this?
Well, sure. Well, the corporate office is 512-977-9900, and that's in our downtown office location. My direct line is 512-501-2812, and if you want to dial 2810, you'll get to talk to Dave. And then my email address is aschell, S-C-H-E-L-L, at mbs-team.com, or better yet, just go to the website.
Yep.
MortgageBankingSolutions.com. Click on the About Us tab, and there you'll see our team, and click on my picture, and there's my email address.
Yeah, that's a new updated picture. I like the new thinner you, Alice. Wait till you see Andy. He is down on some. He's gone down. He's on his weight. I'm so proud of him. What he's done has challenged me to eat a little bit better, a lot better. That's a challenge. I can't pass up brownies and ice cream. And when it's hot and 100 and some degrees in Texas, a brownie and ice cream just says, I've got to have it. So, Alice, we talked about you and I are speaking together in New Orleans. Could you give everyone a little update on that event that you and I are speaking at?
Yes, the Mortgage Bankers Association has their annual operations conference, and we are going to be speaking on September 13th. The event runs from September 12th and 13th. Great venue for those of you at all levels of management who want to learn more about how to be more efficient in your operation. And Dave and I are conducting a presentation on what is the right mortgage process, because we know every company does it differently. We've all had to plug in different parts of regulatory compliance, and it's like a machine that you keep adding on, or a house with lots of additions, as Andy has said in the past. And this session will help you really assess ideas from other companies and look at some of the ways to run your business a little bit better, and looking forward into solving some of the compliance challenges that we have today.
Well, I always say that Alice is going to be there, so it's going to be highly informative, and she by herself makes it quite entertaining. But with me being there, we're going to make it that much more entertaining. It'll be so much fun doing that with you.
Yeah, we'll have the classic sales and operations battle going on, right?
Yeah, we're going to do that. I'm looking forward to that. You got to tune into this, folks. It's so good to have you tune in each and every week. For those of you that are in the Tampa Bay, Florida area, I'll be speaking next week at I'm a keynote speaker at a kind of a whole housing event, a one-day event on August 25th. I'll be there speaking in the afternoon. Love to have you there if you're in the Tampa Bay area. So good to have you be with us each and every week. Be sure to tell your friends about this radio program, a first of its kind, produced by mortgage bankers for mortgage bankers to help you stay informed in all that's going on in the industry, and it is no challenge. There's certainly a lot going on. Have a great week, everybody. We look forward to seeing you here next week. Have a blessed week. Bye.
This has been Lickin on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Crowline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.